Todd paid a sad farewell to a club stalwart on Sunday as Andy Considine bowed out of his Aberdeen career after 571 appearances for the Dons in front of a near 15,000 Red Army. More from Andy coming up, plus we're post-match with Jim Goodwin following the draw with St Mirren. Aberdeen Women also wrapped up their season on Sunday away to Motherwell. We also hear from new non-exec director Willie Garner. All this and a wee bit more on the last AFC Dons cast of the season on Tuesday, the 17th of May.
Darling, your eyes are heavy with frustration. It makes me wonder if I'm the one you've waited for. By reputation, ask all your friends, I'm a sensation. Try me once, you'll beg for more. Yes, sir, I can boogie, but I need a certain song. I can boogie, boogie, boogie all night long. Yes, sir.
There's never been a season where we wanted it to come to an end so quick, and this last match of the season played out in exactly the way we expected. Plenty of possession, very few chances. All eyes were on club legend as we said goodbye to Andy Considine after nearly two decades at the club. There was a guard of honour from both sides for Andy as he came onto the pitch with his three boys. We looked the more likely side to end the season with a victory as Lewis Ferguson and Conor Barron both forced good saves from Jack Anik, and Ross McCrory had the ball in the net only for his effort to be ruled out for what appeared to be handball. Ref Don Robertson also reversed his decision to award us a penalty on the stroke of half-time after consulting with the far side assistant, having initially penalised Scott Tanzer for a handball. St Mirren did have opportunities too as they aimed to consolidate 8th place and better last season's points total. Marcus Fraser's header forced Joe Lewis into action in the first half and substitute Eamon Brophy flashed a shot just past the post after the break. Unfortunately, Andy Considine had to go off injured early in the second half in tears and to a standing ovation, his appearance for the Dons ending prematurely. Overall though, a match between two sides with virtually nothing to play for unfolded with precious little excitement in a season with very little joy for either club. The curtain comes down on this season for the Dons with us ending in 10th place, our worst finish since the 2004 season.
Well, Jim, I guess you feel a sense of deja vu standing here talking to us about a game where you've had lots of ball, lots of passes, lots of possession, and you haven't quite been able to find that winner. How do you assess that performance?
I think it's clear for everyone to see that we were by far the better team, completely dominated the game. Today we have had the ball in the net, legitimately, in my opinion. He's given a foul, the referee, for a foul on Jack Anik when Marley Watkins is just standing his ground. The St Mirren player is actually in between, you know, Marley and the St Mirren goalkeeper, and how the referee can deem that a foul by Marley on the goalkeeper is just pathetic, to be honest. There's no other word to describe it. We should have been 1-0 up. And then the penalty decision, you know, that was given rightly for me for the handball, and then when I speak to him at half-time, the linesman said that the ball hit actually off the back of the St Mirren player's head, which clearly it didn't. If he had given the foul for the push, there was a slight nudge by Bates, but it doesn't matter. He gave it for, because he felt he made the wrong decision and it wasn't a handball. It was a handball. We should have been 2-0 up. Jack Anik makes a couple of great saves. One from Ferguson, tips it over the bar. One from Conor Barron down low to his left. You know, we could have been 3 or 4-0 up and comfortable at half-time. Very, very frustrating. You know, I've tried to be as positive as what I can be. The players, obviously, you know, give their all there today. You know, we should have had some goals for the supporters to cheer about. Again, they turned out in great numbers, you know, stayed behind at the end of the game and, you know, got, you know, clapped the players off the park when arguably I'm not sure we deserve that today. But, you know, that just shows how good the supporters here are. And, you know, the summer we're going to work extremely hard, as you know, without repeating myself like I have done the last couple of weeks. But the hard work has already begun. You know, we're very, very optimistic about next season. We're speaking to quite a number of very good, talented players who will add real quality to the group. And, we're looking forward to next season already.
How big a summer is this for Aberdeen? It's obviously been a frustrating season. You've come in late in it and tried to steady the ship. How important is it that you make a lot of signings and the signings you make come in and really affect that first team?
Well, of course, it's a huge summer because of the volume of players that are leaving. You know, there's a hell of a lot of work to be done. But that's the part of the game I enjoy. You know, I've always enjoyed the recruitment side of things. You know, we had very, very good success, I felt, at St Mirren with some of the quality of players that we brought there. And we'll do the exact same here at Aberdeen. You know, we need real quality, real energy, good athleticism throughout the team to be able to play the way that I want the team to play. Being high up the pitch, being aggressive, getting in people's faces, but also when we're in that final third, having that little bit of quality and that little bit of creativity. You know, Vinny Bejuin gets people out of their seats. We need another three or four like Vinny at the top end. You know, we can't just rely on individuals. So it's my job and the recruitment team here and Stephen Gunn, Director of Football, it's our jobs collectively to get this right. It's the most important part of any football club. If you get the recruitment right, you give yourself half a chance.
Are you sufficiently encouraged by what you have left here in terms of the players who are staying, who are contracted for next season, that you've got something there to build on, to build the template and the style that you want to replicate next term?
Yeah, I think, listen, there's a number of good players that are going to be retained for next year, obviously under contract, but it's about the calibre of players that we bring in to complement that. That's going to be the most important thing. So, yeah, there's some good younger players there. Conor Barron, obviously, Calvin Ramsey, yeah. Lewis Ferguson. You know, you see Liam Harvey coming on today. He was very unlucky, actually, with a header in the second half that Jack Hannock tips around the post. So, you know, It's easy for me to stand here and say that we're all optimistic about the future. I understand the supporters' frustration, but you know there are great examples of teams that have been in a similar scenario to ourselves. I mean, even if you look back at Hearts 12 months ago, you know, knocked out of the cup by Brora Rangers, big demonstrations outside Tynecastle, 12 months on because they got the recruitment right. They're the third best team in the league. You know, they got a cup final to look forward to. I want that to be us in 12 months time, and I'm very confident that we've got the ability here, we've got the resources here to make that happen.
It's the last time that the fans will hear from you for a few weeks as you take some time off football, although it sounds like you'll be busy scouting and recruiting in your downtime as well. What would your message be to the Aberdeen supporters that turned out today and that are watching this at home?
Listen, talk is cheap. You know, I can say all the right things and all the positive things that people would expect me to say. The criticism and the frustration from the supporters has been merited, and we take that on the chin. All I can assure them is that there's a really good team of people here behind the scenes that are working tirelessly to get things right. You know, we have had to tidy up the squad a wee bit. We have had to let a number of individuals go. We do it for the right reasons. The reasons being we want to improve next season. We want to make this club the club that it's capable of being and the club that it has been in years gone by. You know, the supporters are used to this club being up in the top three, top four places in the league, competing for Europe annually and going far in cup competitions, and that's what I want to bring. So yeah, I mean, look, we're all disappointed with what's happened, but what I would ask them is to judge me in 12 months time on how next season goes, and I'm very, very confident that we will get that right.
Jim, thanks for your time. Enjoy your summer. We'll see
thanks
you next
very
season.
Much. Thank you. Cheers, guys. All.
Aberdeen Women were in action for their last match of the season against Motherwell at Alliance Park, and we ended our SWPL1 season with defeat as we went down to a last-minute goal to lose 3-2. Francesca Ogilvie scored twice as the Dons came from behind to lead 2-1, but late strikes from Gemma Hughes and Caleb McDonald-Ngua gave the hosts the points. Ahead of the final match, Aberdeen Women's captain Kelly Forrest and teammate Carrie Doig both announced they will retire following the final game of the season. Kelly spoke to Mal about her decision to retire.
So I start thinking about it, when did you decide?
When my body started falling apart. I couldn't get up on a Monday morning. It's been on my mind for a while. I actually think as far back as, you know, we've obviously had the success of the back-to-back promotions, and for me, I felt it was a duty of mine as like a player at the club to get the team back to where I feel Aberdeen should be as a club. And I think everyone agrees that, you know, we should be a Premier League team. So I always said to myself that I wouldn't, you know, abandon ship while we were, you know, down in the dumps lately a couple of years back. And so that was a timeline for me. And obviously, as things have evolved, it's got a lot more positive and exciting in women's football. So it's been, you know, not only a journey back to the top, but a journey in women's football that I've thoroughly enjoyed. But yeah, it's been on my mind, and it always says, let's just see how I feel when we get back to that top flight football. But I was never going to quit before then. And for me, this season I've been plagued a little bit with a reoccurring injury in my Achilles, so it's been difficult, and I find that a little bit frustrating. And I think, you know, I did have it roughly that it would be one season at top flight. You know, I feel like we deserve that as a team to have stuck together. So yeah, probably at the start of this year I said to myself, you know, one more year.
Who let the dogs out? Don't be a spoil sport. Keep your dogs on the lead when you're near wildlife. Keep Scotland unspoiled.
On Friday night, Inverness Carly Thistle are through to the Premiership playoff final after beating Arbroath 5-3 on penalties after two 0-0 draws. Billy Dodds' side will now face St Johnstone this Friday and Monday, May the 23rd, with the first leg at the Carly Stadium. On Saturday in the Premiership, Celtic lifted the Premiership trophy following their 6-0 victory over Motherwell in their final game of the season. Rangers had a 3-1 success against Hearts of Midlothian at Tynecastle. Dundee United came from behind to defeat Ross County 2-1 in Dingwall, thanks to a Nicky Clark double to secure fourth place in the table. And on Sunday, James Scott hit a hat-trick as Hibs thumped St Johnstone 4-0 at Easter Road to end the campaign in eighth place. Livingston finished 4 points clear in seventh spot after beating relegated Dundee 2-1 at the Tony Macaroni Arena.
Oi, litterbugs. Stop spoiling the view. Pick up your litter when you leave. Keep Scotland unspoiled.
Andy Considine spoke to Mal for one final time as he looked back at some memorable European moments in the red shirt.
Copenhagen was a huge one. You could ask any of the fans, any of the players that night, if they would have said, you know, what the final score would be. It would never have been 4-0. But I think a lot of the teams that came to Pittodrie, I mean, yes, along with that, the atmosphere probably made it difficult for them. But I think they kind of thought, you know, who are Aberdeen? Mm-hmm. You know, and they thought they probably would just walk over us. But we made it very hard. Jimmy set us up extremely well, extremely tough to beat. Mm-hmm. As you said, the energy we had that the teams didn't enjoy. But, you know, the goals from Jamie Smith, you know, against Copenhagen were outstanding. And, you know, it was a really a really amazing night. And I just can still picture the boys in that corner celebrating. You know, I think there's a picture way up in the Dick Donald of the guys celebrating. And, you know, it was an unbelievable night.
Rijeka.
Yeah,
would that be a favourite one?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Leading up to that point, we were getting a really, really tough night. It was really hot, really, really hot. There were water breaks. I think we had a water break after the 20th minute, and by that point, they'd hit the post, hit the bar. Danny Ward had made a number of saves. And I mean, they were cutting us open, and you know, I remember when the boys saying I'd gone to receive the ball for a throw-in at one point, and my face was the same colour as my top. I was after 20 minutes, I was gassed. And the water break came at a good time. I felt we could regroup. You know, Derek sort of changed one or two things and gave us some words of wisdom, a bit of confidence. And we started to grow into the game. We got Johnny Hayes on the side, and obviously and Peter as well. And we started to get set plays. We started to get corners, a few free kicks. And I had a feeling that the ball was going to come to the back post, and the goalie's in absolute no man's land. And I know I've managed to obviously get up above the defender, and and put it into the roof of the net. And I think once I'd scored that, I think we knew as a group that we'd be able to hold on for the win. Because I felt that even through the league, sort of previous years and whatnot, the amount of games we won, winning 1-0, we always kept a good number of clean sheets. We had a really solid back line. It was myself, Paul Quinn, Ash Taylor, you know, guys who are, you know, just really good defenders, you know. And that night, you know, from front to back, and obviously Danny Ward as well, you know, they were outstanding. Because it was a really tough shift against a very good team.
Watch the final interview with Andy on Red TV. Willie Garner talked to Red TV about his appointment to the Aberdeen board as a non-executive director. Here he is with Mal.
I'm an Aberdeen supporter. I'm passionate about the club doing well. I'm passionate about the club doing well on the pitch. You know, that helps off the pitch as well. You know, there's absolutely no doubt about that. Each helps each other. You know, if a successful side off the pitch becomes not easy, but it becomes a wee bit more manageable in terms of expectations. You know, and I just think we've just slipped that wee bit in terms of the team performances throughout this season. But I'm pretty sure, I'm confident that things will change. Jim's come in and he's had a very he's had a good start in terms of embedding himself into the club, and I'm totally confident that he's the one to sort of take us forward and make sure that if there's going to be changes in the summer, we all know that.
Without giving too much away, Willie, those conversations you've had, I mean, you're confident there's going to be a big improvement next season?
Yeah. I've sat with all of the directors, and the work I see these people doing is incredible. Behind the scenes, the work is incredible. You know, people out in the terrace and will think, what are they doing in there? I might have been that person 3 or 4 weeks ago thinking what actually goes on, but now that you actually come in and see and speak to these people, the work behind the scenes is non-stop to make sure that this club gets back to a position where we really want to be.
Is he a big lad downstairs?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mine smells of fairies.
Does it?
Oh, it's lovely.
Got a lovely back area, which you can't...
Have you been in the back area, James?
Boner feels a bit too straight for you.
I've come in my jeans.
Oh, yeah, me too. I've come in my jeans.
Like when you go round to the bottom side.
So I'm going to come in your eye line.
Pardon?
Click to the top rim of the glass because that's what makes the best noise. And commit to it.
So if you want the best noise, you've got to hit the top rim.
Commit to the rim.
Commit to the rim, ping. Hashtag.
She's coming in back into the studio now to smell hers. See what it's like. We've all gone.
I am hard.
My friend snogged a dick once.
What a shame wasn't Dom.
Boo Peacock is fine.
Yeah. Well, how about Lou? Say this is fine.
Yeah, Ms. Anus.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry.
Should we try and, you know, do more men? It's up to you. What? Come on.
I play with my lips. It's only ever just, you know.
No, she didn't.
I'm pleased I just got head.
I got that in a t-shirt.
Shall I do you?
Yeah, well, there you are.
I'm going to come bottom again.
I'm having a go at his sex.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Nothing in particular, saying oh,
just funny stuff.
I'm up, no, sorry.
Big soppy pants over here.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, don't call me that.
I'd like your sausage battered.
I like it battered. Mm-hmm. Do you like yours battered?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We need nice long straps. Oh, it's so slick. You played the horn really well there. Yeah. Pop it in my cheek.
Pardon?
It's springy, bouncy, wobbly fun. Just push your fingers in a little bit more. You suck it up, essentially, and you don't kill it or anything. You kind of suck it up and hold it in that area, and then you release it into its natural habitat.
So you pour that in your meat, and you rub it.
Radio X. The Chris Moyle Show.
You can find a gap everywhere, really, can't you?
You can.
And that's it. We have a big summer rebuild ahead of us, and you can track all the comings and goings at Pittodrie on our social media and on the Inverness Reds website at invernessreds.co.uk. Before I go, I would like to say a few thank yous. First up is Aberdeen Football Club, who have provided some of the material for the show. Big thanks to Mal Panton and Rob Wicks for their assistance with that. And of course, you for taking the time to tune in. Thank you for sticking with us throughout the season. Our pre-season pretty much looks like this. We'll be making a return with the AFC Donscast pre-season shows on Friday the 17th of June. That's when the fixtures will be announced. The AFC Donscast proper will return on Friday the 29th of July, just ahead of the start of the new season. And that's it from me, Graeme Mackay, and the Inverness Reds. Have a great summer break and stand free.
to my heart.